Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. Westchester Talk Radio, produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities right through the spring of 2021. Also by Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. And by White Plains Hospital at White Plains. We thank all of our heroes there for all they've done throughout the COVID pandemic. Here on the Sports Report, I'm John Marino, and we are joined by the man known as the greatest coach in any sport in the history of high school athletics in this country, Tony DiMatteo. Tony DiMatteo just retired a few days ago after 52 years of coaching over at Roosevelt High School in Yonkers, and most recently the last number of years at Somers in Northeastern Westchester, the second winningest football coach in New York State history, 360 career victories, four shy of the all-time leader, Howie Votes at Bethpage High School on Long Island. Tony DiMatteo, welcome to the Sports Report, and congratulations on your retirement.
Well, thank you, John. It's always nice seeing you again.
Great to see you again, and we go back a long time, back to the late 80s during my days with my good pal Harry Jefferson when we took over announcing White Plains football and the great matchups against Roosevelt through the years. I have to say you went out in style at Somers, an undefeated 6-0 season, a regional bowl championship to cap the season, a Section 1 regional bowl championship. The season began in a different kind of a way. You got to coach against your son, Dominic DiMatteo, the head coach at Mayo Pack in Game 1 in March, correct?
That's right.
How did that game go?
It was a close game for a while. There were two big plays that probably changed the game. One was a pass my grandson completed that was going for a touchdown, and Kid Deegan on my team made a game-saving tackle. And then with about 40 seconds to go at halftime, Matt Kapika, who was my split end, made a circus catch. So instead of it being 7-7, it was 14-0, and that kind of changed the game.
Right. Your grandson, Anthony DiMatteo, is the quarterback in Mayo Pack. He staved off a shutout with a late touchdown pass, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, is Matt Kapika, I've wondered this, related to the one-time Greenberg police commissioner, John Kapika?
I really don't know.
I've thought about that for a few years, actually.
Right. Yeah. I just know he's a great kid and a terrific football player.
Yeah, terrific player. No doubt about that. Were you born in Yonkers?
Yes.
So you came up through the Yonkers school system?
Right up until the eighth grade. In the ninth grade, I went to Stepanak.
You went to Archbishop Stepanak?
Yes.
Played football there?
Yes.
And what position did you play?
I was a tight end and a defensive back.
Did you play other sports at Stepanak?
No.
And off to college, where did you go?
I went to the University of Rhode Island on a football scholarship.
Mm-hmm. And what position did you play there?
Yeah, I was a tight end and a defensive end, and I played 4 years there. Actually was captain my senior year.
And after that, what got you into coaching? What gave you the coaching bug?
Well, after I graduated from Rhode Island, I decided to get my master's in 1 year. I went to Bridgeport University and became a graduate assistant for Bob DiSpirito. And that kind of got me going in the area of wanting to be a coach. But I just remember when I was a kid, you know, I was always the organizer. I was diagramming plays in the eighth grade. So I always knew I wanted to be involved in sports in some way.
Mm-hmm. And you worked your way up as an assistant coach, and then eventually you came back home to Yonkers. How did that happen?
I really did not want to go anywhere else. You know, when I was, I actually went to Stepanak because football was so poor in Yonkers. And that's really the only reason I went. I decided to go to Stepanak because my cousin Tony Amendola was a player there.
Now, that's a long ride from Yonkers to Stepanak, though.
Yes. Yeah. When I first went, I had to take three buses just to get there. I had to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to make a 9 o'clock class. But when I graduated from Bridgeport, you know, my goal was, you know, I knew the kind of kids that were in Yonkers because I was born and raised there. And I just wanted to change the football situation in Yonkers. It was a big goal of mine.
Mm-hmm. And your brother helped with that too, obviously, the late Don DiMatteo, who passed away about 20 years ago. He was a big part of football becoming what it became in Yonkers, the DiMatteo family, Tony and Don.
Yeah, he was a great coach.
No doubt.
He died too early. We had some great games against one another, never liked them. Neither did he. But, you know, both of us had great careers in Yonkers, and we kind of changed football in Yonkers together.
Mm-hmm. I noticed you made a comment after the Mayo Pack game that you were kind of worried about your grandson getting hit, and you didn't really, in a way, like having to coach that game because it was against family. You mentioned about you didn't like, you know, really going up so much, I guess, against your brother in certain ways. Was it difficult to coach against family out there on the field?
Absolutely. I mean, it. You know, I've been doing this my whole career. I mean, I have over 36 coaches that have gone on to become head coaches, and I've faced quite a few of them. I don't like that. I never liked playing against my brother or my friends, and I hated playing against my son, but playing against my grandson was traumatic for me.
Mm-hmm. What about family bragging rights with that, you know, you won practically every game, so no one could say, you know, Tony, if only this play or that play happened, you won too many times along the way.
I don't know about that. I just know that, you know, I have to be loyal to my team. I do the best job I can. You know, I've had some bitter losses in my career, and I've had some great wins in my career. So, you know, I think as a coach, as long as you win more than you lose, you know, you're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Best victory through the years, or best victories?
At Somers, I would have to say the first time we played Rye last year, you know, we had five kids out. That's 10 positions. I think I don't remember now. I think we were down 21-7 or something going into the middle of the third quarter. We came back and won that game, and that really was a great victory for me in the situation we were in at Somers. And at Roosevelt, probably winning a state championship. That game only had 18 players. Two were girls. Had two girls on that team.
Yeah.
And they actually got on the dome floor in the fourth quarter for two plays. Mm-hmm. So, you know, winning a state championship, getting ranked 23rd in America as a high school football team by USA Today, and only having 18 kids, and by some miracle, we didn't really get anyone hurt seriously, and they made it through the year. I think that's something I'll never forget.
You won two state championships. You got on the floor at the Carrier Dome, as you mentioned, the victory at Roosevelt made you number one in New York State. And also 2016, you had a state championship at Somers too, a Class A state championship. What was the difference between both state championships coming from very different school systems too?
That's a hard question. I don't know, you know, I don't know of a great difference. You know, it's kind of like the same. You know, it was two different style football teams. Football has changed dramatically in terms of all the spread stuff that we're seeing now. So I just think that the winning in 96, in 95, we made it all the way to the semis and then got knocked out. Winning in 2016, in 2015, we were 4-5. It's only my second losing season in 52 years. So to go from a losing season to a state champion is really something that's really something I'll always remember.
Mm-hmm. And that's
remember how those kids, you know, responded to that losing season to come back and do that.
And no question, that's a testament to your coaching. What made kids buy into Tony DiMatteo and what he was doing through the years at Roosevelt and Somers? That's a great example. To have a losing season come back a year later, you won a state championship. You could have gotten some pretty good odds on that.
Right. I just think that, you know, kids don't care what you know until they know you care. If you convince a kid that you really care about him, his life, and what he's going to do later on in his life, you can get him to do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's a great slogan you have there about knowing and kids and what they know and what you know, and that they have to know that you care about them. And I think one story that kind of puts it all together and shows what it's all about. I heard this story back in the late 90s. You had a great player at Roosevelt. I saw him a number of times. Jimmy Kennedy, defensive tackle. He went to play at Penn State, and he had a pretty successful career in the NFL with the Rams. I heard this story that Joe Paterno had an off weekend and was interested in bringing Jimmy Kennedy to Penn State. And he came to a Roosevelt game, came to Westchester, watched your game on Saturday afternoon, and tried to convince you to kind of work with Jimmy Kennedy, kind of point him towards Penn State. And you were maybe a little leery about that. And Joe Paterno said that my wife is a special ed teacher or an English teacher. She taught something that we're in an area where Jimmy Kennedy maybe needed a little work academically. And he promised you that his wife would work specifically with Jimmy Kennedy. And he became not only a star player at Penn State, but a star student too.
Well, that's exactly true. I had told Jimmy, Jimmy was 6'5", 330 pounds. He was a great football player, one of the best ever come out of Westchester. But, a slight injury, anything could happen which would deter his career as a football player. But nothing can take away his degree. And as long as he got his degree, he would have a successful life. And, Joe Paterno was pushing very hard for Jimmy to come. And I wouldn't agree until they figured, Jimmy Kennedy was a special education student. He should not have been there. I noticed that in coaching him, how smart he was. And I got him out of those special ed classes and into regular classes to try to, get him ready for college. So that when he finally was going to graduate from Roosevelt, he was still a little behind. And I told Joe Paterno, what are you going to do to make sure this kid gets his degree? And that's when he told me about his wife. And his wife did work with Jimmy for a year. And Jimmy graduated with a degree.
Mm-hmm. So Joe kept his word. His wife stepped in. And the rest is history, as they say.
Exactly right.
Yeah, he had a great career with the Rams in the NFL, no doubt about that. And you could see when he played for you that he was a man among boys on the field. There was no doubt about that, too, back in the mid-1990s. And a lot of, like we said, great battles with White Plains and New Rochelle, North Rockland, all the powers of those days back then in the 80s and 90s. I think this sums up Tony DiMatteo, too. Nor'easter, fall of 1996. White Plains had a home game against Pine Bush from Orange County, from Section 9. They had won the state championship, I believe, the year before Pine Bush. And we were anticipating a great game at White Plains. White Plains had a really good team that year. But we had a monsoon, a nor'easter that day, and we played in terrible rain. We thought the game might be canceled. I think some games across Section 1 were canceled that day. Pine Bush came to White Plains. It was a slogfest. It was like playing in a river. White Plains won the game on a safety, 2-0. Neither team could do anything offensively. Harry Jefferson and I were in our booth in water up to our ankles. We thought we might get electrocuted. There were maybe 5 fans in the stand who braved the conditions and came out. But there was Tony DiMatteo. I looked down out of the booth and you turned around. You were a little bit below me and waved up at me. Tony DiMatteo came with his coaching staff to that game because they had a game against White Plains the following week, monsoon, nor'easter or not. And you guys in your rain slickers watched that whole game out there. And I mentioned it. Harry and I talked about it a few times during the game. That's what Tony DiMatteo and his staff and his coaches are about. They have a job to do, and it doesn't matter to get done.
Well, preparation is the mother of success. And, there wasn't one stone I wouldn't unturn to figure out how I could get my kids to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Now, you alluded to the Tony DiMatteo coaching tree. How many of your assistants have gone on again to be head coaches?
Over 36, maybe 40.
Close to 40-ish thereabouts, yeah, give or take a few. Now, that's a great testament to you. What do you think they learned under you that allowed them to go out and be successful with their own programs doing that? How did it make you proud to see all those guys out there, even if you had to coach against them from time to time, too, that they came from you?
Well, I think that, you know, that's part of the legacy that I want people to remember me for, that these fellas, these guys, including you know, my son Dominic, who he was a college coach, then he came coach with me, and now he's a coach at Mayapack. You know, he's one of them as well. But to get the message out about what football is really all about in terms of the educational process of making a kid understand what he has to do to be successful. And I have always believed, and believe till this day, that anyone can be successful if they're willing to put in the work. And I use the term deliberate. Some people practice hard. Practicing hard is not good enough. You have to deliberately practice hard. And you use the word perfect all the time. You have to try to be perfect. Well, no one can be perfect. But if you try to be perfect, that's how you get to excellence. And you carry it on, not just with football, but for the rest of your lives. So I've had many scout team players who never get on the field who have become very successful in life because they learned that system. And I'm very proud of that.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of those coaches that moved on in the DiMatteo coaching tree from coaching under Tony DiMatteo to taking over their own programs, besides your son Dominic?
Oh, boy.
Lou DiRienzo, correct?
Lou DiRienzo, Billy Tribo, John Castellano, Bobby Butler, Frank DeLaurentiis, John Iannucci. There's been so many, I can't even remember half of them. Artie Bonafardi. I mean, if I sit down, there's been so many.
Mm-hmm. And I remember all those names through the years, too. Your son Dominic was your quarterback at Roosevelt about 30 years ago, correct, in the early 90s?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember a particular game. Roosevelt at White Plains was played on a weekday afternoon because it was Yom Kippur weekend, if I remember right. And you guys, White Plains against Roosevelt, it was a tremendous game. White Plains pulled it out in the end. I remember you walking off the field with your arm around Dominic's shoulders and consoling him after a tough loss. I remember a couple of plays by the White Plains quarterback back then. It was tough to contain. Dane Anderson that made the difference in that game. And that impressed me, made an impression on me back then 30 years ago about you and the time you took. Yes, that was your son, but he was your quarterback and your leader too. And the time you took to do what you needed to do to walk with him off the field, to talk to him, to let him know that we got another game next week and we got to forget about what happened today. What happened is done.
Well, believe it or not, you know, and I don't really care what people believe, but I stress preparation, not winning. If you prepare as hard as you can and you lose, you can look in the mirror. The thing that happens is when you're not preparing as hard as you can, and then you have doubts, and then you lose, and then you wish you could have changed it, and it's too late. So no one wins all the time. You have to learn to, you know, and I always tell the kids, football is about the next play, and life is about the next day. No one has it perfect all the time. That every time there's a problem, there's always the next day, the next play. And I think that I've tried to follow that. And, you know, and have kids, you know, go out there and have fun. And, you know, I always tell them, if you lose this game and you prepare for it, when you go home, your mother's going to still cook your dinner. Things are not going to be so bad. It's not as big a deal as sometimes we make it out to be. The worst thing to happen is that you lost because you didn't prepare properly. If you prepare properly and you win, great. And if you lose, you live with it.
Mm-hmm. And you take that in the classroom, too. It's kind of like preparing for a test in a way that if you get a 74 because you didn't prepare, well, maybe you'd have gotten a 99 if you did.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
How did you make the correlation to the kids, too, because your kids succeeded academically, too, that what you do on the football field, you got to bring into the classroom and vice versa?
Well, that's all part of being deliberate. You know, you have to be a deliberate person to be successful. I mean, I read this book. It was very interesting about, I can't even remember the name of it now. Ability is Overrated, I think it was called. In terms of anyone can be successful. But why is only 1% of the population successful? Because being successful is hard. It's hard to do. You have to work very hard every single day of your life. And I tell the kids all the time, you know, Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world. He doesn't get any more than 24 hours a day. We all get the same amount of hours a day. Don't waste it. Because once that day goes by, you can't get it back. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, these life lessons, and you know, I always say this, John, I could not teach what I want to teach if I didn't win. So I have to win. I understand that. But it's not winning at all costs, and winning is not the ultimate goal. Teaching these kids to become successful is the ultimate goal. But in order to teach them that, you have to win. Mm-hmm. So that's why winning is important.
Tony DiMatteo, member of the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame and the second winningest coach in New York State high school football history, 360 career wins, four shy of the all-time mark of 364. Tony stepping down and retiring now, head coach at Somers after 52 years coaching at Roosevelt and Yonkers and Somers. He won two state titles along the way. You talk about obviously being successful in the way that winning helps bring about success, not only on the field, obviously, you win, you're successful, but in the classroom too. Dan Rickey, the legendary girls basketball coach at Ossining High School, like you, a member of the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame, has something that he teaches his kids, and his motto is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. It seems like a Dan Rickey, a Tony DiMatteo came from that same coaching tree too, and tree of life as well.
Well, Dan Rickey happens to be a very good friend. He's a good person. He's a great coach, and I have a great respect for him. And I like what he said.
Yeah, very successful like you. He's basically the Tony DiMatteo of girls basketball in Westchester and in New York State. You made a comment, too. You were interviewed by our good friend Josh Thompson at the Journal News. You spoke with News 12. And you made that point with both of them that 360 wins, yeah, I could have stayed on another season and passed how we vote out at Bethpage and gotten the all-time mark. But that number is not what is most important to me. What's most important to me is I have 360 wins. I hope I've impacted at least three times that many kids along the way, and hopefully I've helped them be successful. And that's what it is to you, obviously. It's all about overall success in life, and you win some, you lose some, you won most, but the real key is to learn those life lessons along the way.
Absolutely. And you know, John, that wasn't an ultimate goal for me to be the winningest coach in New York State. Actually, the goal I had all through my career is I wanted to win 400 games. That's what I wanted to do. And I am in unbelievably great health. It would have taken me another 5 or 6 years, but I would have gotten it done. But I would have had to sacrifice not seeing either one of my grandkids play. And hopefully my son, Anthony, who is more than ready to be a head coach, to have to wait another 5 or 6 years while I did this. And of course, you know, that, you know, I'd be in my mid-80s, and that's a time away from my wife, who has been very, very patient with me in terms of what I've tried to do with football. I just felt it was time, that those goals were not important. So, you know, missing that by four is not really what I would, in my mind, what I missed. I wanted to win 400. That's what the determination was. I was giving up too much with my family.
And you came pretty close to that 400, obviously. No doubt you would have gotten it done had you decided to stay on. At Somers, you in 2016 were awarded by the American Football Coaches Association, the AFCA, with the Power of Leadership Award by them, and that Power of Influence Award, a leadership award. And again, you are a member of the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame. The connection with your brother Dunn, who, like we said, passed away about 20 years ago, and the job he did at Gorton and building that program up, those legendary games between Gorton and Roosevelt. I tracked them whenever you guys would play. You'd see Gorton over at White Plains or White Plains over at Gorton, and the tough game that Don and Gorton would always give a stacked White Plains team. The two of you have a parkway named after you. You're the only people in this area that have a road named after them, coaches in this area. The Don and Tony DiMatteo Parkway, that is the Yonkers section of the Cross County Parkway. That's got to be something, obviously, maybe high up on your list of achievements and accomplishments through the years, too. You got a road named after you.
Yeah, that was a great day. I mean, when they did the ceremony, they blocked off the parkway. Governor Pataki landed in a helicopter to come and do the ceremony. So it was really a wonderful honor that was initiated by the Spano brothers, who I will always be deeply indebted to. The only disappointment I had is they didn't put a toll booth up.
Yeah, and New York State needs the money right now, so there you go.
I was hoping it'd go to me.
Always good to get a little cut out of it, right? I'm going to give you a Don DiMatteo story, and this goes back to the late 90s, my days over at WFAS in White Plains. That was the era where the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, started to loosen ownership rules, and that's why you see a lot of radio the way it is today and why AM radio stations, many of them are on a satellite, a lot of FM stations now too, and why the business is going this way towards online internet podcasting, and the pandemic quickly pushed the business in this direction. We, for a bit, owned 106.3 FM. We were 1230 AM, 103.9 FM at FAS. For a while, we owned a station in northern Westchester, 96.97, 106.3 FM, and their major coverage area was northern Westchester, Putnam County, and into Danbury, into northern Fairfield, and into southern Litchfield counties, too. I was at an event, and your brother was there. Sometimes after my morning show at FAS, if somebody didn't show up or somebody was busy, I'd record the midday news for the new FM station we had, 106.3 in northern Westchester, and I'd do maybe the 11 a.m. and 12 noon and the 1 and 2 p.m. newscasts. And I was at an event, and Don came over to me, and he said, "Hey, I heard you on that other station." And I was working on Long Island on weekends at that time, too. And I said, "Where, on the island?" He said, "No." He said, "The other station." I said, I'm thinking, the other station. He said, 106.3, the jazz station. I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "I hear you doing news on there sometimes." I said, "You know, I'm generally so busy, I forgot about that." And he turned and he looked at me and he said, "I know what you do better than you do." And I said, "Don, you're absolutely right about that." So a great Don DiMatteo story as we, you know, look back at your career and obviously your brother and what the two of you did for football, for sports, and for the young men and women, too, of the city of Yonkers, and also what you did up in Somers. What year did you go to Somers?
2000, 21 years ago.
It's been 21 years since you went to Somers. Wow, been a long time. So, and you got a state championship at Roosevelt, state championship at Somers, too. All these years coaching, 52 years, your best, most memorable moment. Doesn't have to be a win, doesn't have to be a really tough game, just your most memorable moment. Could have been something aside 30 years ago. What do you think?
Woo. You know, there's been so many. I think a memorable moment is my dealings with my sons playing with me and coaching with me. My son Dominic came to live with me in 1987. And from 1987 to this point, other than 1 year, I had one, two, or three sons with me in some capacity. And then it was 1 year, I think Dominic was coaching at Arlington, and Albert and Anthony were in college. And it was 1 year that I was alone. And I think that year made me realize how much I love my family. And it might not be a high point, but it's something that sticks out in my mind pretty strongly.
And you talked about the pandemic, too. You've spoken with News 12 and with Josh Thompson, as we've mentioned, from the Journal News. You say the pandemic really taught you in your own way, all these years later, what's really important in life. And you talked about the support you've gotten from the family, from your wife, from your kids, and made you realize that maybe it is time to spend a little more time at home now instead of out there on the football field.
Absolutely. You know, it showed me how fragile life is. And, you know, I'm 78 years old. You know, my goal is to make it to 95 so I can see my latest grandson, Chase, graduate high school. You know, that's a tall order. You know, most people don't live that long. So this pandemic said, you know, wow, it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm. Will you have input in selecting the new coach at Somers with athletic director Roman Catalino?
No, I have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. So this is all now Roman has to go out and find the next Tony DiMatteo, if that's findable.
Well, I know where he is, but I'm not making any statements.
You're besides spending time with your family. What other goals do you have now? Do you think you'll get the itch on a Saturday afternoon to maybe pull out the cell phone and text a coach you know? Maybe you're watching somebody's game online and somebody in the DiMatteo coaching tree is out there on the sidelines and you send the play in?
Probably not. I think what's going to happen now, I've missed a lot of football because of all the time I spent coaching my team in terms of, you know, watching college football, watching the pros. I just want to, you know, I love the sport. I love what it's done for me, what I've been able to teach other kids, what it's done for them. So I'm just going to become a great football fan, a sports fan. I love watching basketball. I'm not too high on watching baseball other than the Yankees maybe playing the Red Sox. So, you know, I have things to do. I'm going to spend more time with my wife. We're going to travel a lot more. But I really do want to see my grandkids play. I want to see my son Albert get married. I want to see my grandson Chase graduate high school. So that's 17 years from now. So that's a tall order. So, you know, I train every day. It's a two-hour project. I need to rest for an hour. I take a shower. I get a chance to walk my dog, Hank, who I love like family. And, you know, I'll tell you something about dogs. There's no more loyal species than a dog. They are so loyal. They don't talk, and they don't have, and you don't have to send them to college. So,
and Hank's, they execute the plays too, right?
Hank's my man.
Tony sends in the call, and they make the play happen. No doubt about that.
You know, the other thing, John, is my wife has been a stormtrooper. Never once complained about the time I've been putting in. There were times we were like ships passing in the night at home with the way I went after football. And, you know, it's time for me to give her something back. So I think, you know, my life's going to revolve around my family, my wife, my dog, Hank, my training to stay around, to enjoy all these things. So, I think my life will be very full. And by the way, I'm very, very, very interested in UFOs. I watch those shows all the time. I believe in that stuff. I think that anyone could think this entire universe, we're the only living species, it's not possible. So I've already finished my third book since I've retired. Three books already on these UFO stuff, so I'm really interested in that stuff.
My mother, who passed away about 18 months ago, she was very much into, like you, into UFOs too, and did a lot of study and research, would watch anything she could about UFOs. And I'm interested to see, as certain reports are released, very governmental protected reports through the years, highly classified reports, protected reports, after a certain amount of time, they have to be released. As step by step, they get released. I'd like to see what information is in those reports and find
Absolutely.
Out about maybe some things that we kind of thought about, suspected, we thought were there. Maybe we'll find out certain things were there, and I think we'll be all the better for it in the end. By the way, before we go, that training routine you go through every day, 2 hours, take us through that. What do you do?
Well, the first thing I go down is that, you know, I have a weightlifting machine and I do 7 or 8 exercises, you know, some exercises, 3 sets of 10, other exercises, 5 sets of 5, stuff like that. I use, you know, not heavy weights. I have a machine. I use some dumbbell work. I do some stretching. And then I go on a walking machine and I go at about 3.5 miles an hour. And I walk anywhere from 4 to 6 miles. So mm-hmm. The whole process takes me about 2 hours.
Does that time go by fast because of everything you're doing?
Well, I'm right in front of a TV, and that helps me out. You know, I'm watching all the sports shows, or every time Wyatt Earp comes on, I love that movie. I'm not the kind of a person. My wife says, "How could you watch that again?" But I enjoy watching movies that I've liked. So when that's on, I might walk 8 miles if watching that show. So have the TV right there, and that helps me get through it.
You might be on the exercise machine, the walking machine, all day if it's a day full of movies that Tony DiMatteo likes, right? Tony DiMatteo, congratulations to you. All you've done through the years, over 50 years, the impact you've made on the youth of Westchester and throughout the surrounding tri-state area, too. Everybody knows Tony DiMatteo, the things he's done, the 2 state championships, 360 career wins, Westchester Sports Hall of Famer, and so much more. Tony DiMatteo, congratulations on your decision. The best of luck to you. And you never know, obviously, when you might get that itch to coach again. Could someone tempt you to get back out there on the field one day, or is this totally it?
No, this is it. This is it. I have, you know, there are too many other things I'm looking forward to. You know, if I was bored or, you know, was skeptical about my decision, you know, maybe that might happen, but that's not going to happen.
Tony, all the best to you and yours. Thank you for your friendship over the last almost 35 years now. I've really enjoyed all the times that we've been in the same place around each other, whether it be at an event on a football field, some legendary battles I got to watch between White Plains and Roosevelt and other schools through the years with Roosevelt and with Somers too. You developed so many great players, so many players who moved on to college, had successful college careers, a Jimmy Kennedy who played in the NFL, the coaching tree, so many, about 40 coaches are out there now throughout our area who came up through Tony DiMatteo. And I think this is a record and accomplishments that you've been able to stack up and achieve through the years that will never be matched in football and pretty much throughout any sport in the history of this state. And I say this, and so many say this, and we mean this with all earnesty, Tony DiMatteo, the best coach in America, no doubt about that. Tony, thank you. That's all we can say to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You got a smooth tongue. I really enjoy listening to you, and I consider you a very good friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony, and all the best. And I'm sure we'll cross paths down the road again, probably at a game somewhere along the way. Tony DiMatteo joining us here on the Sports Report here on Westchester Talk Radio. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities through the spring of 2021. Also by Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation, by Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, and by Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction in Armonk. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, Orange, and Fairfield County talk radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevinyl.com.